Oh, this morning, I'm so glad to have Pastor Yan Weaver with us. He is no stranger. He has come and spoken the word of God and, you know, sticking to the Bible. And that's the important thing, because we want men who comes behind this pulpit that stick with the Bible, preach from the Bible. Because what we need is this, the Bible. I know you may look at it as an iPad, but the Bible is inside here. It's contained all inside here. You know, and that's what we need. Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone. Yesterday I got spaghetti. Neither is bread or spaghetti. Man shall not live by that alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And especially in this time and age where information is so easily available, we still need to come to the Bible. What the Bible say. Because our life depends on this. What the Bible say. Not on good opinions, not on what is popular. What the Bible say. And I'm thankful that in this house, we have you folks who love the word, who love God, you know, who is willing to eat the word. That's what we have to eat. Eat the word, because we have no more drinking milk. Say amen. It's time we eat the word, you know. Let's welcome Pastor Yan as he come and would minister the word of God.
Thanks, Pastor Stuart. Well, I hope I've got enough meaty word for you this morning after that. Actually, I'm preaching today a lot out of past experience, but we've got lots of word in there as well, so it'll all be good. You know, Denise leant over to me this morning during praise. You know what she said? She said, "I love coming here. Feels like coming home." You know, we really enjoy coming here. We love you guys. There's, I suppose the word that first brings to mind is genuine. There is something very genuine about who you are and about, you know, this church as a whole, the way you do worship, the way you do the word, the way you do life and leadership. Just, it's just genuine and it's great. So it's a great honor for us to be here this morning. Thank you that you keep inviting us back. You haven't got sick of us yet. I'd just like to say hi to everybody on live stream this morning. As I was worshiping, I felt the Lord drop into my heart two words for you on live stream this morning. And those two words are lean in. Lean in. Because I believe that this morning, it might be a word that I speak, or it may be a word that I don't speak, but God has something for you which is going to be dramatic and is going to be a revelation for you this morning. So I'd encourage you, lean in. You ready? Here we go, let's pray. Lord, I thank you this morning that your word is true and that your word releases us and brings us such joy in our lives. And Father, I just pray this morning that out of what's shared today, out of what's delivered by your Spirit today, that you will bring life and freedom and wholeness and breakthrough. So God, we just bless you this morning. We're here to worship you. We're here to love you. This is about you. We choose to bring our love to you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I would like to speak to you today about one of the most amazing things in creation. Now, this constantly amazes me about God and his relationship with mankind. And it's this. Is God chose to create man with free will? Now, don't you find that amazing? That the creator of the heavens and earth decided to create you with a free will. He gave mankind the power to choose. You know, you see, right from the beginning of time, Adam and Eve had the power to choose. Whether they ate that apple or not, it was their decision. And you know that what took place was a bad decision. They made a bad decision. But you know, from that point, God didn't remove their free will. He didn't take away from humanity and say, "You blew it, guys. Sorry, you no longer have the power to choose. I'm going to take decision out of your hands." Because it's always been God's will for mankind to have free will. So, why is your free will so important to God? Why is that? You see, because God could have created creatures to populate this earth that would have worshipped him 24 hours a day because that was the way they were created. But he chose to make you and me, who have total choice, total free will, to bring worship to him because then it has meaning. When someone loves you out of their free will, when someone worships God out of their free will, it is their choice. And that has value. What God wanted was mankind to love him and to worship him out of total free will. The most powerful thing in all creation is worshiping God out of an act of your free will. You know, in Leviticus 22, it says, when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will. Don't do it because you feel that's what we should do. Don't do it because, you know, you feel like you've been bad this week, so you need to do a bit of worshiping to make things right. Don't do it because it's the normal religious activity that we do on Sunday morning. Do it because God deserves it. As an act of your will, bring worship and love to him. You see, we were not created to automatically worship God. It takes your time. It takes your energy. It takes a decision. Worshiping God will cost you something. And what we're talking about this morning is making decisions. And the best decision that you could ever make is to worship God out of free will, no matter what the situation. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 says this. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do you want to know what God's will for you is this morning? For you? Do you want to know what God's will for you is this morning? It's 1 Thessalonians 5:16. To worship him and love him and give him thanks out of your free will. See, that is the reason why we're created. And that's the reason why we've been created with free will. To worship our God out of our own choice. Now, I could stop right there and we could all go home. And you would have that nice little priceless gem of, you know, going, oh, yeah, that's right. We're created to worship him out of free will. But there's a flip side. Because with free will comes the ability and the responsibility to make decisions. If you had no free will, you would have no responsibility to make decisions. So this morning, we're going to have a look at making decisions. I want you to start here with me. Are you doing okay with me so far? Laid a bit of a foundation? All right, let's start here. Now, we all start our Christian lives with a decision. I have decided to follow Jesus. You know the one? Okay, now at some point of our lives, I would imagine that every person in this room has made a decision to follow Jesus. It's the starting point. It's where our relationship with God begins. You see, I grew up knowing who God was. I learned about the Word of God from a very young age. I even remember telling my mum at 8 years of age that I thought that God had a job for me to do. I even encountered God on a beach in my early 20s.
But it wasn't until I made a genuine decision to accept him as my Lord and Savior that things actually changed. I lived from the time I was born to the time I was 26 years old, knowing who God was, going to church, looking at the Bible, all those things. But it wasn't until I said, Jesus, I'm yours, that anything really changed. My free will was a part of the action of salvation in my own life. Decisions are important. You know, after that decision, and I never experienced this before, after that decision at the age of 26 years old, of age, the Holy Spirit came and He filled my heart. You know, Denise gave her life to the Lord on the same day. And He changed the way we thought. And He delivered us from many things. And He radically changed our lives. But at first started with a decision, an act of our will. And as soon as we made that decision, God released His power to partner with us and bring us salvation. And the rest has been an amazing journey of transformation. And I hope you could say the same thing. But if you were like us, at some point you made a decision to follow Him. You know, I believe that God has been leading us to that point to make that decision all of our lives. And He leads us in the decisions we make. He leads us in the directions that we should go. It says in Psalm 23:3, He leads us in the paths of righteousness. But it's my choice to choose righteousness. We play a part in the release of power in our own lives. By an act of my free will, I gave my life to Jesus. But I had to play my part in the miracle of God. Do you understand where I'm coming from? We have an active role in the choices we make. You know, there is something about the partnering role of God and mankind that is required to unlock supernatural power. Now, obviously, this is going to be different in heaven, and it might be different somewhere else, but while we're living on this earth, while we've been created by God with free will to bring worship to Him, then there's a supernatural power unlocked when we partner our will, our choice, our decision with Him. See, God could just zap you and fix your stuff, but He has chosen for you and Him to do it together in partnership. You okay so far? See, God could have delivered Israel from Egypt, but He chose a reluctant Moses to negotiate that process of release. It took Moses to do something. He could have said, sorry, God, that's it. Nah. Well, he did actually say, sorry, God. But he had to play an active part in the release of the children of Israel. God could have parted the sea, but instead He told Moses to lift up his rod, stretch out his hand, and you know what He actually said? You divide it. There was an active role that Moses played in that miracle. You know, God could have defeated Jericho all by himself, but He required Joshua and the people of Israel to march around it and to yell for the walls to fall flat. God could have killed every inhabitant of the promised land with some vast plague, but He chose to allow His children to fight for it. But due to their reluctance, their compromise, and poor decisions, it was never a complete victory. My point is this: God plus your will releases power on the earth. God won't mess with your stuff unless you choose to allow him to. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will bring you to decision. But you still need to make that decision. Is there an amen in the house? Thank you. Starting to feel like, whoops, okay, wrong sermon. See, your free will has power. I want you to have a listen to a promise or a declaration from God that comes out directly out of the Word in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. It says this: I call heaven and earth against you today, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your descendants may live. Your choice. Which one do you want? Do you want a good life filled with blessing? Or do you want a difficult life filled with curse? You choose. See, I'm not making this up. This is actually written. You can check this yourself. There is a choice involved. See, I started being aware of this a long time ago, and I realized that my greatest personal breakthroughs in God started with a decision. I noticed that when I made a decision, a godly decision, a choice for a positive future in Him, that God got involved with that choice. God came and empowered my decision. He released the Holy Spirit to bring change into that situation. And that the power of heaven was there to help me in that decision. You know, whether that is giving your life to Christ or whatever that decision might be, it's a turning point for God to release His power. You see, prior to being a Christian, I used to like making New Year's resolutions. Who makes New Year's resolutions? Okay, well, that's a good thing, especially when God's involved. Well, really, only when God's involved. Let me tell you, is year after year after year after year, prior to giving my life to Jesus, I made a New Year's resolution to be a better person. And you know how much closer I got to that in many, many years of making that decision? Zip. Nothing at all. In fact, to be honest, I was getting worse. Every year I would come back to January and I'd go, I want to be a better person this year. I want to do the right thing. I want to be in control. I want to have a controlled thought. I want to be the right person, because I knew what was right and wrong. But you know, not one year did that change. And every year I came back to that decision and I was more lost the year after year than I was when I started. When I gave my life to Jesus, instantly, when I made that decision, instantly things started to change. Things started to drop off in my life that I'd been challenged by for years. You see, more positive change happened in those few months than in years and years of making positive declarations. There was no power in heaven, or there was no power released for me to make those changes. See, there is power in the partnership of free will. Let me give you an example. Some years ago, now I'm going to tell you some personal things this morning, okay? You okay with that? So hang on to the side of your seat. But I figure unless I'm honest with you, you're going to have no idea of what I'm talking about, okay? So I'm going to be honest. Hope you're not too shocked. For years, I struggled with the thoughts in my mind. I constantly struggled with sexual thoughts that barraged me all the time. And I was trying to live a Christian life. I was trying to live pure. I was trying to live righteous. And I was trying to live whole. But I had this it was uncanny. I had this barrage constantly. As soon as I wasn't thinking about something in particular, I had these thoughts that would come and they would just war against me. And I didn't want those thoughts. Like, in some way, I enjoyed those thoughts. But I knew that they were wrong, and I knew that they were not the right thing. But I battled and battled and battled and battled. I constantly felt unworthy. I constantly felt unrighteous. And I wouldn't step up to the things that God had called me to do because I did not feel worthy for that. Because of these thoughts that would go through my mind. You know, I struggled and fought those thoughts for years. And you know what? I started to think that that was my lot in life. That every day of my life I was going to have to battle these things. It was some kind of cross that I had to bear. You know, I used to exhaust myself battling these thoughts. It's almost like I used to try and hold this door shut to these thoughts, and I fought and fought and fought these things for years. One day I reached the point where I'd had enough. I just had enough. I was exhausting myself just trying to deal with this. I got down on the floor of my office and I cried out to God, a desperate cry out to God. And I prayed a deliverance prayer over myself, and I cast out of myself whatever it was that caused these thoughts. And I said, God, I will not revisit these things again. I make a choice, I make the decision that I'm no longer going to be battling these thoughts. And you know what? I got up off the floor of my office a new person. Today, I can honestly say I am totally free. And I've been totally free of that thing for years. But I battled it for years also. But I got to the point where I made a decision. That's it. I've just had enough of that. You know, now, as long as I keep my little finger on that door, as long as I, you know, it doesn't exhaust me, I just keep the door shut. Those thoughts never come back. Now, what had changed? I just decided I'd had enough. And when I made that decision, and as an act of my free will, the power of God came and transformed my life in a manner that I was unable to do. And after considering that, I realized that the major victories in God, in my life, have all started with a decision. I decided not to go back to my sexual thoughts. I decided to love my wife. That changed my life. When I decided not to be critical constantly and think critical thoughts and even pray critical thoughts, and started to love my wife and choose not to think bad thoughts, and made a decision that I would love her through no matter what, our lives changed. And it's never been the same since. But it took a decision to start that process. You know, I made a decision not to look at pornography. Now, that's been the most freeing thing you could possibly imagine. I don't have to choose whether I'm going to look at pornography. I've already made the decision. And once you make that decision, the power of God will be released in your life to be able to pull that off. God wants us free. You just got to choose. And I think there's far too many people out there who are actually enjoying their sin a little too much. Might not admit it, but you're just not prepared to decide to let that thing go. A decision. I decided to love people that I don't like. Now, that changed my life. But you know what? I couldn't do that on my own. I needed the power of God. I needed that partnering relationship. You know, I've seen dramatic things happen because of that decision to love people that I don't really like. You know, Denise and I decided that we would never use the divorce word when arguing. The D word. Now that's changed our lives. We're probably still married today because of that. We don't threaten divorce. We don't talk about divorce. We never have, because we chose that that wouldn't enter into our emotional times. Even when we're at our angriest, we don't mention the divorce word. Choice, a decision to change for the better. You know, I'll tell you a little story. We've got time? Can't see the clocks. I've got no idea. When Denise and I got saved, we had already been going out together for about 4 months. So we went out together as non-Christians. So we were sleeping together, as people do when you're not a Christian. So when we got saved, we realized that it wasn't the right thing for us to do to be sleeping together, because we weren't married. So we decided that we would stop sleeping together. And you know what? We didn't sleep together from that time till the time we got married. And you know what? God has honored that decision time after time after time. And I can stand here and say this morning that after 32 years of marriage, we have the most fantastic marriage, and I'm married to the most perfect woman, and we have an incredible relationship. But I believe that's because we made a decision. Many decisions. Choose this day, blessing or curse. Oh no, we'll just keep sleeping together. God won't notice. Choose this day, blessing or curse. Okay, will we stop sleeping together? Okay, we'll do that. It's going to be hard, and it was hard, but we pulled it off. We managed it with God's help. Well, that's right. But I tell you what, I believe that God has honored that decision in our marriage, and our marriage has been fantastic. Good decision. You know, we made a decision a long time ago that we would go to church on Sunday. Now, including the onliners into this as well, obviously, because you're here with us. We made a decision that every Sunday, unless we were away on holidays, we would go to church. So, you know what was fantastic about that decision, other than the fact that God empowered it and blessed us because of that decision? That when I wake up in the morning on Sunday morning, I don't have to decide whether I'm going to go to the beach and go surfing, or I'm going to go sailing in our boat, or I don't have to make those decisions because we just go to church on Sunday. No decision. It takes the conflict out of life when we start to make good decisions, godly decisions, and have them empowered by His Holy Spirit. You see, we often drift along in our life not making definite decisions about our life. And it's kind of like we're waiting for God to come along with His magic wand and sort of zap us so that those things are sorted in our lives. Well, God's waiting for you to partner with Him in your battles. He wants you to draw close to Him and make decisions with Him. See, He's the one who said, "I set before you life and death. You choose." So don't you think He's going to help you in good decisions? Amen. So it might be time to walk away from a few of those things and go, "God, I've decided that from this time forward, these things are changing." That resentment that you've been holding on to, it's time to choose forgiveness. You choose. You make the choice. Make a decision. Those arguments you have, it's time to choose peace. You choose. Your decision. Your choice. The bad habit that no one knows about, it's time to choose to let that go. Your choice. Your decision. God will come and help you with that thing. Jealousy, anger, selfishness, lying, lust, pride. When you have decided to let those things go, God will release His power for you to succeed. He won't force you. He won't manipulate you. He won't control you, but He will lead you. The very fact that you are in this room today says that God has led you here to hear what He's saying. Maybe it's as simple as this. Decide to pray for a loved one. Decide to fast into a situation. Maybe decide to come to church unless you're away on holidays. Decide to be disciplined about spending time with God. He'll release the power. Now, if you're sitting here this morning, you don't have to put your, please don't put your hand up. If you think you've dealt with everything, you have nothing to deal with, then consider this. This is 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says, but we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Your transformation will start the day that you got saved. Well, it'll probably start long before that. But it will continue till the day you die. Is there anyone here who is found in the perfect image of Jesus? I don't see too many hands. Your transformation is still continuing. You need to start making good decisions so that that transformation can not just wallow around in the wilderness for 40 years, but you can actually start making some ground into righteous living. You choose. See, we choose our ceiling in God. There is no ceiling in God. There is no, I've arrived. There is no high point. We choose our ceiling by when we choose to relax and stop. And unfortunately, I've experienced this in my own life. So I don't think I'm not talking out of experience. I've gone, Ian, you've stopped. You've stopped. It's time to break through that ceiling and start to push. And you know what? Unfortunately, as we get older as a Christian, the potential of you stopping becomes greater. Because we've sort of dealt with this stuff and dealt with this stuff. Now, you've heard this message, and it's just that Pastor Ian guy again. Stop it. You're being transformed. This will continue for the rest of your life. Okay, I'm going to give you some really practical ideas about making decisions, okay? And I'll do this fairly quickly. You ready? What I've found has worked really well for me as far as making decisions is this. I'll pray into it, start praying and say, God, you know, give me direction on how to deal with this thing or how to change this thing or how, you know, this situation that I'd like to see shifted. How do I go about this? And then what I'll often do is I'll get together in a quiet place on my own with communion. Then I'll go before God and I'll say, God, I'm now going to take communion with you, with your Holy Spirit. And I'm making a decision that I will no longer da-da-da-da-da, whatever that might be. Now that's big, isn't it? We're talking about the blood of Jesus. We're talking about the body of Christ. We're talking about the death, the perfect sacrifice that died for you and me. We're not mucking around here. We're dealing with the God of the heaven and the earth. So this is a serious decision. So I make the decision, then I'll take communion before God. And you know what? There's a covenant set in that. And you know, I believe that's when God comes and his power is released to be able to change what I can't change. See, as Pastor Stuart said this morning, we can't do this. This is a God thing. And when I make that decision, he releases his power for me to be able to bring that change in my life. You know, that's quite significant, but there's another key in this, is that on occasions, if I've slipped back into whatever it was I made a decision not to involve myself in, and let's be honest, that can happen. You know what I've done? And this has been the best spiritual warfare that I've ever learned. Instantly get up and go, God, I am so sorry. I made a decision not to do that. I repent. and genuinely repent before God. Don't wait 3 days until you've sort of like felt like it's gone away a little or you feel a little better about yourself. Don't spend a week wallowing in self-pity, how you let God down and you let yourself down. No, just get up and repent instantly. And when you get up and repent instantly, God just takes away that pain, takes away that shame and that anxiety. And you know what he does? It kicks the devil straight in the teeth because he wants you to wallow around in your guilt and self-pity for 2 or 3 days going, I'm never going to be able to do this. Kick him. He's the one who's tempting you. God doesn't tempt you. So the best way of kicking him is repent instantly, straight away. Don't leave time between the time you sin and the time you repent. Repentance is a powerful key to release the Spirit of God over your life. Don't lose repentance. We don't talk about repentance a lot. You need to be good at it. I'm not talking sinful and then allowing repentance to be your way of, you know, like, oh yeah, I can sin and I can, but I'll repent. No, no, we all understand that. What I'm saying is if you get caught out, if you bite the apple, if you go against what you've already decided, don't make a big deal of it. Just get up and go on and repent and ask God for his forgiveness. Amen? If you've already made the decision, then you don't need to make it again. We're talking about making life decisions here. Okay? Don't keep revisiting the same thing. Just get up and go on. Because swift repentance is the best spiritual warfare you will ever be involved in. You know, once you pull the repentance card too many times, the devil goes, oh, this guy. Even when he sins, he just instantly repents and gets back unto God and releases the power of heaven over his own life to release that shame and guilt. That the devil doesn't like that. He wants you to wallow in self-pity and guilt. Just ask the band to join me, if they wouldn't mind. Awesome band. You know, I believe that many Christians are waiting for God to do something. You're waiting for God to help you? Yeah, that's good. Waiting for God to show up? When God is waiting for you to decide to do something. I think at some point we need to stop thinking that this is our lot in life. This is just who we are. This is how we made up. Because God's transforming you. But he can't transform you if you, by your act of your will, keep revisiting the same things over and over again. He wants to partner with you for breakthrough. You know, there's a scripture in Joel 3:14 says, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Now, I believe that that's talking about salvation, but that principle has power. If Jesus came back tomorrow, would you be wallowing around waiting for him to do something? Or would you be in the process of transformation that he desires for you? Let's just close our eyes and we'll just wait on God. Lord Jesus, I just ask that you would move across this place this morning. You would start to identify areas. The word says that you are the God, a God who guides and leads us, but also convicts us when we need convicting. God, I ask that you would bring your light upon these hearts today. Lord, I thank you that there is safety found in good decisions. God, let your blessing just fall upon these lives today. I'd just like you to take a moment just as the band plays and the anointing of God just comes across this place, to consider if there's some serious decisions that you need to make this morning.
We lift up our lives.
Jesus,
will
your blessing just come? Your anointing just come. We just thank you this morning that your power is released in this house for transformation today. That everything that we need to be released to a life of righteousness and joy and peace is found in this house now. And Lord, we apply it to our own lives today. Your power, your victory, your release. If there's anyone here today who sort of has never made that initial decision, never connected your life to the life of Jesus Christ. You might know about him. You might have read the Bible. You might have grown up all your life in a church and done the Sunday school thing, done it all. But unless, as an act of your will, you have made a decision to serve Jesus Christ and to give his life, your life to him, then he won't force you. He won't manipulate you. He won't demand that you make that decision outside of your own free will. So this morning, I'd like to give you the opportunity. If you would like to make that decision for yourself, to receive the forgiveness and walk into a life relationship in Jesus Christ, I'd just like you to raise your hand and I'd like to pray a simple prayer with you. I see that hand, see that hand. Got it. So anyone else here? There's two hands this morning. Okay, now we're going to pray that prayer this morning, and I'd like both of you people who put up your hands to pray this to God from your heart. This is an enormous decision, but the best decision you'll ever make. Everyone else, let's pray together with them. Amen. Lord Jesus, I decide today, as an act of my will, to give my life to you, Jesus Christ. I ask that you come into my life, take away my sin, forgive me of my past, and lead me a new future in you. Lord Jesus, I accept you this morning as my King, as my Lord, as my Savior, and as my friend. And I choose to serve you every day of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. Let's just worship him. Thank you, Jesus.
Almighty, we sing with the angels, we lift up our voices.
Father, we choose life and blessing. We choose Christ and His teaching and His commandment. We choose to obey. Lord, we ask for Your Holy Spirit to empower us and give us the strength to live that life that reflects to those around that we are Your child. I pray for Your grace and blessing upon every individual here, that when they come to decision, they will always choose life, choose You. No matter, Lord, how attractive it is on the other side, they will say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We thank You, Lord, for Your word this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.